Hello and welcome to the T3 podcast. This week we're recovering from CES and we've got Chris Smith in the studio to talk about it.
Yes, I'm back and we've got no technical difficulties this week.
Excellent.
Planned. Ace.
Also, we've got the Sony laptop. Is it the most expensive netbook of all time? Yes, it is. So that's that one done. We've also got the new Sony Walkman Laserdisc, RIP. Sorry to see it go, or like kind of not aware that it was still going. We'll get to the bottom of that particular pressing issue. Also, gadgets that never were. And whatever else happens to come up over the course of the next 10 to 15 minutes or so. I'm joined this week, as ever, not as ever, because I don't normally do this, as you can probably tell, by Ree Morgan from T3.com and Chris Smith, also from T3.com, back from CES.
Hi.
We communed with you last week via the gift of Skype.
That was...
That didn't work out, but really. But now you're in the studio. I'm sure it's going to be much more successful.
I hope so. It couldn't be any less successful than it was last week, so let's keep our fingers crossed that I can actually talk and I don't lose my voice or something, or microphones don't break, or I don't die before the end of the podcast.
Thanks.
I think it's a bit late for that now, never mind. Normally at this point, Dan asks me what's been chafing my anus this week, and I'd say, Chris, what do I say? Do your impression of me.
I'll tell you what's been chafing my anus this week, Dan.
And what's been, it's not exactly been chafing my any part of me particularly, but it was an interesting story, I thought. Well, a horrifying story, actually. Let's kick the show off with something horrifying. The chap in America, Mr. Petrouche, who shot both of his parents in the head because they wouldn't allow him, with an actual gun, this is, they wouldn't allow him to play Halo 3. And then claimed that this was because of, because Halo 3 is a violent video game, that this had caused him to shoot his parents. Except the flaw in that logic is, it seems to me, that the reason he shot them was they wouldn't allow him to play it.
Yeah.
Which means, and this is, he'd been planning it for several weeks, so he hadn't been able to play it for several weeks. So that defense didn't work out so good in court, and he's recently been found.
Has he said that?
Very, very guilty. That was his defense. That was the best that he or his lawyers could come up with.
Yeah, it was like video game addiction is as serious as crack or heroin addiction.
There are, because, and this is the serious point of the story. We can all have a laugh about people being shot dead. But people, psychologists in America have called for gaming to be made into like a proper addiction, yeah, on a level with tobacco or alcohol or...
sex or drugs.
Something else crack that people get addicted to, yeah. What do you think of that, chaps?
Well, I don't know. I think it would have been better for him, instead of meticulously planning to kill his parents for weeks, why didn't he just like steal an Xbox? Because the prison sentence would have been much shorter.
But he wasn't playing it at home. He was playing it around his mates for 18 hours a day. So
he was overdoing
it.
I think it's fair to say he's not entirely right in the head.
He doesn't look like a very nice guy on his picture, to be honest.
Yeah, but you're just saying that after the fact. If I hadn't just told you he was a murderer, you'd be like, well, he's just like an average looking guy.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to defend him, but I'm just saying, psychologically, you've been...
I'm just looking into his cold, crazy eyes, managing to deduce from the situation that he might be a nutcase.
But I think to say that you put gaming in the same categories as crack and heroin is a bit much.
I think mad is the word, but...
Yeah, I just...
It's like, in America, they're obsessed with everything being a medical condition of some description. Like, yeah, if you're lazy, then you've got, you know, some kind of...
Yeah.
Being able to do stuff, deficit
if
disorder
you're fat
or whatever.
As well, and you've got some kind of
glands.
Yeah, big bones.
Big gland bones.
I'm just glad this didn't happen over here, because if it happened in the UK, thanks to the Daily Mail, like Xbox would have been banned and there'd have been like no gaming for anyone then.
Imagine that nightmare scenario.
Then we'd all shoot our parents because we wouldn't have any gaming. Not really. I would
don't shoot them. Your parents, kids.
Yep.
Well, so anyway, so that was that's like a nice light item to start the show with. CES, all done and dusted, but we didn't really get to talk about it last week for various reasons. High points for you, Chris?
Oh, there was one incredible high point for me from the whole show. I mean, CES this year, there was nothing monumental that came out of it. There was no like Blu-ray or there was no new Xboxes or anything as we kind of expected. But the best thing I saw and the best thing I've ever seen was the 3D HD plasma theater that they had on the Panasonic stand, which was absolutely amazing. It's like, I just want one. It's the greatest thing I've ever seen in my
what
life.
What was it?
That's a pretty big claim. What was so amazing about it?
I don't know. You know, 3D, it's usually a bit like ropey. Of course, you have to wear the glasses. It's really ropey, and it, you know, it doesn't look great and kind of.
You always get that effect with 3D
artificial,
where it's like, it's more like there's several layers of picture in front of each other. It's not really like, you don't really get a sense of depth so much as a sense of something being on a picture behind another picture. I'll take it this was better than that.
Yeah, well, it was on a 103-inch plasma screen, which was awesome, and it was coming through a Blu-ray player as well. And The field of depth of field that you could get from looking through it was just amazing. Like, they showed like football, mm-hmm. and like the ball nestling in the back of the net and stuff like that, and like things like boxing and wrestling and the Olympic opening ceremony.
Boxing?
Just, yeah.
Oh, that's good. So you can see people hulking up phlegm and arching into the bucket between rounds. But blood kind of...
More like through the ring ropes and stuff, uh-huh. as people were coming down. It was amazing.
Oh, yeah, right.
But yeah,
is this something though, is actually... Because the thing about trade shows, they always have 3D television, as I understand it. And in fact, everywhere you go where there's any kind of gathering of gadgety people, there was like, have you seen the latest 3D thing? But is this actually going to be something that people, you know, actual normal people, not the rarefied likes of ourselves, are going to be able to buy... in Dixon's, Comet.digital, whatever it's called now, Currys.digital, at any stage, or is it just going to remain something that the likes of you get to see?
I can't see why not, because this was like so good, and this year was a real kind of watershed for 3D TV at CES. There were all of the big companies were exhibiting some cool
stuff.
Yeah,
there was a lot of it.
That was cool, and that was kind of the overriding theme of the whole show, that I think that 2009 really could be a year when this kicks on, and we start to see consumers being able to you know, watch TV in 3D. Sky are working on 3D technology at the moment. When they're on board with anything, it usually kicks on things a bit faster. So, well, I don't see why not.
Yeah, because content does seem to be a bit lacking. I mean, Pixar are making all their films in 3D now.
Yeah.
Apart from that, all I've seen is that really ropey looking horror film that's being advertised on all the cable channels, My Bloody Valentine.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Doesn't seem to me there's a great deal of content there. So, if you're paying, I mean, obviously nobody is going to buy a 103-inch version of this, but say a 30, 40-inch version of this.
Yeah.
But then what are they going to do with it? Can you also watch 2D television on it as well? Is it backwards compatible?
It should be able to, because you know there's not going to be the content to justify you paying that amount of money for a 3D TV when all you can watch is 3D, uh-huh. I guess. But I can't see why not.
Okay.
But it was ace. It was so good. Really, really good.
And yeah, so the effect was amazing. Have you seen the Philips one where... they had it at the T3 Awards. Have you seen the Philips one where you don't need glasses?
Yeah, it's kind of like two layers of... It's kind of like a deep TV where they have one layer up front, one layer up back.
Yeah, because that really is like those things where you kind of... It's like we have a ruler as a kid and it's got like a sort of 3D-ish thing and you move it and it's like Scooby-Doo's head moves.
Yeah.
I think I've just beautifully described that 3D wonderful. Television was like.
That was beautiful.
But that... Because that, people would think, that's better because you don't have to wear stupid glasses. But that one, it seemed to me, did make me go completely cross-eyed and feel nauseous after about 5 minutes of watching it. So maybe that
wasn't very good either.
No, and it just seemed to be sort of non-moving landscapes.
I tell you what, mate.
That's the only thing you can watch on it.
Yeah.
It's more of a 3D picture frame than the 3D TV.
But don't you think that's a major problem with 3D TVs, that you have to wear stupid glasses and look like an idiot?
I've got no problem whatsoever with wearing those glasses. Looking like an idiot. Thank you. I've got no problem whatsoever with wearing those glasses because... Especially with the Panasonic one, it was just so good. I couldn't care less, man.
Okay. What any other high points? The Vio netbook was something that a lot of people were talking about.
The Vio netbook is we went to see it again the other day. We saw it at CES and then we saw it the other day at they had this freezing cold bloody launch.
Yeah, it was kind of King's Cross Station. It was freezing cold. I had a blanket on, which they'd given me. I don't know if that was meant to be like a nice touch, like, ooh, come and see the new netbook with a blanket.
And have some champagne at bloody 9 o'clock in the morning. Why are they insistent on this? Tech companies insisting on pushing champagne your way. I know, but bloody hell, man. It's like, champagne? And no, it was 11 o'clock in the morning. Thank
but anyway,
you.
We were
so the champagne and the blankets were disappointing. But the netbook any good? Or?
Well, the netbook is good, but it's just completely overshadowed by how ridiculously expensive it is.
Yeah. Mm.
It's £849 for the bottom.
That's the lower
and going
range
up to about 1,300, isn't it, for the one with the solid state drive?
Yeah,
that's a disgrace, man. You could buy two MacBooks for that.
It's not a netbook; it's an ultra portable PC.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's because Sony can't ever have a thing that has the same name as what anybody else is calling it.
Anything in the world, but it's a really good looking piece of kit.
Yeah, and, it's great. It's great.
It's got really cool shortcuts on it, like a few of the buttons that really. On the front of it, you kind of do split screen, and then you can also go and use Sony's version of Linux by using just this button, so you don't have to get your battery and stuff. So.
Yeah, like a low power version where you can kind of just select certain applications. So if you just want to use the internet, or you just want to access your multimedia files and not drain the processor, that's kind of cool.
It's got some cool stuff on it, but I don't know if it's worth the money they're charging.
Couldn't help noticing it doesn't have a mouse pad.
It's got this nipple controlled.
Mm.
But the one we saw was a prototype, but the nipple was really kind of sensitive and it was really shitty.
Yeah, I don't want to be too harsh on it because it did make it clear to us.
Maybe that's because it was so cold.
Yeah, maybe.
Was it kind of really protruding?
Yeah, it's quite hard and...
You can hang your coat on it.
It's like a saucepan lid.
Somebody really has got to come up with a better name for that means of controlling. I mean, sure, there are other names for it, actually, but nipple just... you know, people who are more have a more toilety sort of sense of humour than us could just probably amuse themselves for hours. Just
what do you mean, a more toilety sense of humour than us?
That's I've no idea what I mean, because that sentence didn't even make any sense. More toilety is an expression I've just invented. Well, Sony had lots of things at CES, going back from the hell of King's Cross to the lovely desert paradise that you've just come back from. And one person who was particularly impressed... seemed to be almost delirious with happiness to be there. It was Tom Hanks, who we just have a listen to his keynote address at Sony's get together.
Everywhere I turn in this world, I see the name Sony, 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 Sony. I show up on the set, and there it is on the camera. Sony, really? I have yet to see that. I go into post-production. they write the lies, but I tell the truth. I go into post-production, and there it is on the editing decks, Sony. I think I saw that. I turn on a play screen, and there it is, Sony, in high definition, on which I watch a show produced by Sony. Damn, they're taking over my world. I unload, download a few books onto my digital reader, the Sony digital reader. Which is a fine product in its own right. And I go to the movies, and gosh, what do I see? Sony. I play games, I download music, I record videos, I shoot photos. Sony, 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 even when I fire up my computer.
So I think what he's saying is that he likes Sony products.
I think I got that impression. Yeah.
And if you are going to say that anywhere, it is a good place to make that announcement is a Sony keynote when you're being paid money by Sony.
Yep.
So I think hats off, kudos to Tom Hanks for his frankness there.
I love Tom Hanks. He's like my favourite person ever.
He was a bit overexcitable there.
No, I think he was overexcitable in his mocking of the.
I was going to say it was sort of overexcitable almost to the point of Mickey taking. I thought I could kind of I didn't actually see the video, but I can picture all the sort of Sony high ups kind of sitting there rather awkwardly, the sort of Chinese Politburo when somebody's just told a fart gag in front of them, shifting around, sort of being like, "Oh, Mr. Hanks, you're very you're amusing American sense of humour.
Kill him now."
Yeah, as soon as he's finished, kill Hanks. Who booked Hanks? Never again. Every time we get Hanks.
Hanks, do Forrest Gump now.
What on earth did he have for breakfast? Because that's how people who work at Sony talk.
Probably something from Sony.
So if there was one thing other than 3D TV that you took away from CES, what was that one thing? Apart from the fact that Skype doesn't work when you try to use it for outside broadcasts.
Yeah. Eco TVs and things like that. There were lots of green gadgets and eco-ness floating around.
Dan was talking about this last week. I think if you buy an eco TV, it's like, what is the point? At the end of the day, a 40-inch TV is so bad for the environment. The fact that you've got a version that's a little bit less bad for the environment is kind of ridiculous. But
it's all this self-congratulatory bullshit that is peddled in the name of the environment. That's like, I don't know, man. It's like, like Duncan says, if you're going to have like a massive, just don't have a massive, massive telly if you care about the environment.
Exactly. So basically, you've just completely retracted what you originally said.
And yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. Excellent, excellent. But one other thing that was at CES was Sony's new touchscreen Walkman. And
yes.
I'm glad to say that we don't have Sony's touchscreen Walkman here this week.
We do have it, but it's getting shot. I sound like I've got a wasp in my ear.
You have.
We've all been inserted with wasps.
It's always good to have technical discussions in the middle of live radio programs. But
sorry. Yes, the new... Well, we haven't got the touchscreen.
So the runners-up prize you've brought in is...
Yeah, I have, which is this one, which is the Sony W Series, which is Sony's offering to go up against the Shuffle. So if you imagine, it looks... It's got...
It doesn't really look like a Shuffle, though, does it?
It doesn't look anything like a Shuffle. It looks like a pair of headphones.
It's cordless.
It's cordless.
Except there is a cord.
Well, that's for
cordless headphones always have cords. Oh, it started.
Yeah.
Because one interesting design feature is, as soon as you take it off its quite plush little stand and separate it into the two earphones going to your ears, it starts playing.
It does start playing, and it stops when you put there's a magnet to meet both the little earpieces together, and that stops the music. So that's, it's quite annoying because you can't actually stop playing when it's in your ear. You can actually stop it playing when you have to take it out of your
ear. Yeah, I tried for ages to get the hang of this. There's loads of little cool settings on it. Though,
but it's 2 gig, and it's got one of these things that Sony's coining now, which is called zapping.
Yes. Now, zapping. I've heard about this.
You've heard about zorbing. Now it's zapping.
Perhaps, Chris, if you could talk us through the zapping concept. Right, okay, or demonstrate.
Excuse the technicalness. You can hear some music playing there, obviously.
Yes.
Then if you press the top loaded button, it hold it down. So that cuts you to a different part of the song. So the concept is that if you bought an album and you can't remember the song that you liked from it, then you press the zapping part and it takes you to a place and you can recognise it. You can do zapping short, zapping long.
And what's the difference between zapping long and zapping short? Or zapping in short and zapping in long?
Zapping short just plays a short portion of the song. Zapping long plays a long portion of the song. And then zapping out changes the song, I think.
And Ree, you were saying that what it does is it finds the chorus.
Yeah, it finds the chorus of a song. It doesn't play the intro, just in case you don't know the song. So it picks the chorus, and then you can kind of pick it. Because it hasn't got a screen on it, obviously.
No, of course. Well, it's in your ears.
So it's in your ears.
How does it know where the chorus is?
Guesses.
This is a very good point. That might ring up Tom Hanks. He probably would be able to tell me. He's probably got one. But,
Sony.
I have no idea how it finds the chorus unless it kind of... Sony's decided that every song in the history of songs is chorus starts 1 minute 30 into every song and therefore it just kind of cuts in.
So what if... playing devil's advocate here, what if the song had no chorus? For instance, if it was an instrumental song, mm-hmm. or if it was perhaps a piece of progressive rock, which tends not to have choruses.
This is very true.
What do fans of, say, early Genesis or Jethro Tull do when confronted with this particular device?
I think fans of early Genesis and Jethro Tull haven't moved beyond the vinyl player yet, let alone the in-ear MP3 player.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fair enough. All right, so it's not a problem, basically.
Awesome. Thanks for answering that.
Excellent. Well, thanks for bringing that in, Ree. It's a very nice-looking thing. It's almost as nice-looking as the touchscreen one, which I thought you were going to bring in and was looking forward to
seeing.
I
can bring that in next week.
I like it, man.
Yeah, okay, cool.
I like it.
But we like to have Sony products on this programme.
Yes, pairs.
Everywhere we look, we see Sony.
Maybe we should do a Tom Hanks.
We've got Sony... Oh, no, the Sennheiser. Shit. Begins with S.
Can you stop swearing, Chris? Honestly. Well, we had some sad news this week. Those people being shot, that was sad news. But some even sadder news, if anything, is the demise of Laserdisc. Hang on a minute, the demise of Laserdisc? this is true. Did you hear this, Chris? Pioneer have announced, is it Pioneer? They've announced they're not making Laserdiscs anymore.
I did hear this, but I thought they'd... Has it gone 10 years ago or something stupid like that?
I didn't even know that it was still around.
I know. It's like when, somebody who was famous 30 years ago is suddenly announced that they're dead. And you're like, I thought he died like a decade ago. It's like this. It's like the technology equivalent of that. I mean, who was still buying them?
I don't know.
Because there were no more... I mean, obviously, they're an amazing leap forward at the time and massively ahead of VHS. They introduced, I believe, the concept of having extras on a medium. But then that's completely commonplace now. You get DVDs for like £3 and the players practically come free with cornflakes, and that's been the case for 10 years. Who's been buying Laserdisc in all that time? Where can you buy Laserdisc from?
I don't know. That's what I was wondering. Where can you buy it from?
Because, I mean, Love Film, it seems to me, have a Laserdisc section. They're pretty exhaustive. Even Amazon, I don't think, sell Laserdiscs. Who's buying them, Chris? Yeah. Who was buying them?
I don't know, man. Connoisseurs of the forgotten... artifacts of our society.
Is it one of those things? Is it got like a sort of thriving subculture around it that insists it's higher quality than everything that's come since? Because I would say like vinyl, but then it's not like vinyl because obviously it is digital, so you don't have that.
I think show-offs.
But it's not really showing off, is it? I mean, Blu-ray is more... I mean, I suppose Blu-ray's only been around for a year, so maybe this is a case of it running down. But DVD is perfectly impressive, and this mystified me, this story. I believe that's about all we've got time for. Apart from one last thing, which is bad press release of the week, the regular feature that we regularly forget to include.
Bad press release of the week.
And this week it's for I don't know why they sent this to us, because we're not a toy magazine. Well, we sort of are. But the Thomas Rock and Roll Guitar.
Thomas the Tank.
Thomas the Tank Engine. It's for 18 months plus. The first ever Thomas guitar is here, and this exciting toy is a must-have for Thomas fans of all ages. Shaped like a real guitar, etc., etc., etc. Yeah, okay, fine. What on earth has a rock guitar got to do with a sort of anthropomorphic talking train?
I don't know.
Ringo Starr, wasn't it?
Does it play the drummer. Theme tune or something?
And how can a train play a guitar?
I don't know.
Furthermore, what on earth?
Well, to be fair, that train talks. So
it hasn't got any arms, though, has it?
No. Yeah, this is very true.
Play with his teeth.
Like... It could play very fast if it used its pistons, I suppose. It could do real hardcore kind shred. Of... No, but I thought this was terrible. I don't want to sound like Jeremy Clarkson or something, but Thomas the Tank Engine has been... All the kind of loveliness of Thomas the Tank Engine does rather appear to have been sucked out of it in recent years very to be replaced so. By Thomas-branded absolutely everything. Mm. And I think this is just about the last straw for me.
Yeah. No Thomas guitar.
It's so easy to buy for kids these days because you can get everything Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh, my nephew loves it.
I don't even like Thomas the Tank Engine.
What?
I like the original one, like the Reverend... Is it E.W. Audrey? Didn't he write? It was like they're written by a bloody vicar, and they're like really sort of super quaint English things. Then you read them now; they appear to have been written by somebody. Drawn by somebody who just really cannot draw. And there's like about a billion books, and like everyone's got. I think they're trying to do it so that everyone has an engine named after them.
Yeah,
because it's actually a Duncan the Tank Engine.
Is that?
It's one of the one of the new batch, and it's like his best friends are called like Andeep and Consuela, because they're basically trying to do the entire world. And weirdly enough, actually, Duncan the Tank Engine is a real, completely miserable bastard. Interesting. So anyway, on that note, thanks for listening.
Pleasure.
And thanks for being here, Ria and Chris. And Dan will be back next week. I do apologise, everybody. I've been Duncan Bell, and goodbye.